We're going to hear from God's word in scripture from Genesis 32 and 33.
During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jacob River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury to his hip. "Even today, the people of Israel don't eat the tendon near the hip socket because of what happened that night when the man strained the tendon of Jacob's hip." Then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children amongst Leah, Rachel, and his two servant wives. He put the servant wives and their children at the front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. Then Jacob went on ahead. As he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground 7 times before him. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms round his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. Then Esau looked at the women and children and asked, "Who are these people with you?" "These are the children God has graciously given to me, your servant," Jacob replied. Then the servant wives came forward with their children and bowed before him. Next came Leah with her children, and they bowed before him. Finally, Joseph and Rachel came forward and bowed before him. "And what were all the flocks and herds I met as I came?" Esau asked. Jacob replied, "They are a gift, my lord, to ensure your friendship." "My brother, I have plenty," Esau answered. "Keep what you have for yourself." But Jacob insisted, "No, if I have found favor with you, please accept this gift from me." And what a relief to see your friendly smile. It is like seeing the face of God. These are the words of the Lord.
Right. Our theme this week is about being face to face with God. I've thought a lot about it in the light of everything that's happened, so this isn't quite going to be the sermon that I once thought I might preach today. When we were at the Lent course this week, we were thinking about that story that we've just heard, and we were also looking at what Paul has to say in his second letter to the Corinthians, where he talks about us with unveiled faces seeing the Lord's glory and God bringing the light of God to us in the face of Jesus Christ. But it strikes me that perhaps today we need to mention as well that in between those two verses in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about mortality. He's talking about the weakness that he has and how incredibly difficult life is for him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. His life is regularly at risk because of what he is doing. He's spoken earlier on in this letter about the times of depression that he has had, how he felt at times that he was under the sentence of death itself. And he talks in this wonderful image about us having treasure that is in jars of clay. And one way that he's talking about this treasure being in jars of clay is he is talking about the physical frailty of the human body. So perhaps at a time when we're thinking more than we usually do about how frail our bodies are and how vulnerable they are, it is good for us today to take time to attend to the fact that God has placed treasure in us. And this treasure is his presence. And whilst it's true that we want to seek to behave well and we want to do the Christ-like thing over the next few weeks or however long it takes, the real treasure that is inside us is the presence of Jesus. He has come that he lives inside us. So no matter what happens to us, no matter how frail we feel, no matter how much we feel either that we are failing or succeeding, Paul writes this. He says that the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us is glorious. And God wants to do something glorious in us at all times, but especially to do something glorious within us now. So today, I would encourage every one of us, you've done well to get here this morning, take some time to pray to God and say, God, how do you want me to be at the moment? And you might pray that thinking, I don't even know how I'm going to do what God tells me to do or whether I'm up to it, but never mind. The ministry of the Holy Spirit within you brings the glory of God to you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that when we look to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We can be face to face with God. And being face to face with God doesn't mean that we're going to have all load of rapturous highs and experiences and stuff like that. No, being face to face with God means that we find his presence in absolutely everything. We follow a crucified Savior. And in a moment, we will, with a few amendments to how we normally do it, take bread and wine. If you feel you don't want to take the physical bread and wine today, that's fine. That's okay. But we will be inviting you to take that bread and wine. And what we will be remembering is that the glory of God is revealed more than anywhere else in the suffering and in the cross of Jesus Christ. And if God can reveal his glory there more than anywhere else, then God can reveal his glory to us no matter what is going on in our lives. And of course, for some of us here, it's not just coronavirus. There are other things concerning us. The other health scares that are going on in our lives haven't stopped because of coronavirus. A load of jobs have become far more vulnerable than they ever were before. You know, British Airways, you know, it's going to be different afterwards. Your pilots already being laid off. So much of this sort of thing that is happening. Who knows how big this will get, but we face the potential it could get very big. Where can God reveal himself? I believe in a God who can reveal himself anywhere. And if he can reveal himself in that cross, I'm pointing to the cross here, but the real cross, if he can reveal himself there, then he can reveal himself to us. And maybe today it's time for us to say, we are believers. We live in the life of eternity. We believe that Christ has conquered death. And you know, many of our brothers and sisters across the world who believe in Jesus are facing the reality of death all the time. There are people who on a normal Sunday are gathering together for worship, knowing that their lives are in danger because they do so. And yet because of the love of God, because of what has been revealed to them, they come together. So this, of all times, is a time where we are to live in the light of eternity. The early church lived under constant persecution and lived under constant threat. And yet they discovered the love of God in those difficult days. In a world where news travels very, very quick, there are going to be a lot of ups and downs in the days to carry on, in the days that come from now. But, and I'm quoting somebody called Jeff Lucas here, this is not a time to keep calm and carry on. This is a time for us to look up and to embrace the hope that we have in Christ. It's time for us to stand on what we believe, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I'm going to read those verses from the Message translation in a few moments. Nothing can separate us from him. The things that have happened to us in the past did not separate us from him. And the things that will happen in the future will not separate from him. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. And if nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, then now is a time to love. Now is a time to notice the people who are afraid and to show some love and care to them. Now is the time to make sure that people who can't care for themselves are cared for. Got to be careful on that one. There's a big thing on some Baptist Facebook things about Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of old, going round and visiting people's houses during the cholera outbreak when he was alive, and how brave he was. But as some people have pointed out, cholera spreads through water. It doesn't spread through air. So he was fine. He didn't get ill, but he didn't know that. We've got to be careful. But it's time to look around. It's time to see those who are on the margins, the sick, the forgotten, the frightened, and to be the hands and feet of Christ to them. And let's have a discipline that we keep checking our focus. From the Message. This is Message translation of Romans 8, 35 to 39. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love? No way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing or the worst of sins. As it says in Scripture, they kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. But none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Isn't that wonderful today? Well, I haven't got time to say a lot about Jacob and Esau and God, that story. I just want to say something quickly. But there are two stories that we had read to us this morning. We first of all had Jacob and this very strange story being wrestled with by this man who appears to be God in some form, and this man cannot subdue Jacob. Well, God's been trying to subdue Jacob all the way through Jacob's life, and Jacob hasn't been listening most of the time. Jacob had earlier had a dream about a staircase going up to heaven and angels coming up and down, and that was the story of his life, but he struggled so much to trust it. And here is Jacob on the verge of perhaps the most important meeting of his life, and he is terrified. If we'd read the whole story, we'd know that. Jacob is scared out of his wits at what's about to happen. And God wrestles with him. And Jacob at the end says, well, I saw God face to face, and yet I'm alive. And sometimes when we face difficult things, this is the moment where God comes to us and wants to speak to us. He wants to draw close to us. And then in the second story, when Jacob meets Esau, Esau turns out to have forgiven Jacob. A long story, I haven't got time to go into it, but Esau has forgiven Jacob for all of the things that Jacob has done. The last time we met Esau and Jacob together, Esau wanted to kill him, but he seems to have forgiven him. And Jacob says to Esau, that to see your face is like seeing the face of God, because you've been kind to me. And if we want to know where God is in the middle of all this, yeah, God is here. You are here moving in our midst. You're the way maker, and we come and we worship today. But maybe over the next few weeks, we're going to see the face of God most in other people's faces. People that God calls us to love. People that God calls us to care for. Paul knew when he wrote 2 Corinthians and Romans and all of those, there were no guarantees for him. In the end, Paul was executed. He never thought that because he was a follower of Jesus, that his life would be spared forever. But he says, in my mortality, in my frailty, I am carrying around this wonderful treasure. And what people are going to need to see, and what we need to see, is not how strong or how frail we are. We are weak. We are frail. But if somehow people can see that Jesus is living in us, not that we've put on a great show or we've got everything right, because we won't, but because something is inside us that really matters, then who knows what great things could happen in the next few weeks and months for this area and for our nation. We join with our brothers and sisters who name the name of Christ all around this area, all around our nation today, and we call upon Him. And we're going to take bread and wine together. It's the reminder to us of what God has done, and the reminder of the one who took all of our illnesses, the one who took all of our sin and nailed it to that cross. So we will remember. My heart says of God, seek His face. His face I will seek.